Welcome back to Blotter Briefs. Tee Briefs, bailing water out of the giant leaky rowboat that is my true crime to-do list, one thimble at a time. It is November 1st as I'm recording this, and I'd like to wish my mom happy birthday and thank her for parking it in front of Watergate hearings when I was but a wee sprout. I would make a joke about the dulcet tones of Senator Irvin washing over me as a child and my marrying a Tar Heel as an adult, but Irvin was a segregationist, so it just really doesn't work. Moving on, today's topic totally does work, so let's yield the floor to our esteemed colleague from California as he presents the History Channel's three-night documentary event, Watergate. The crime. Really? Yeah, no, you can Google that shit. The story. Watergate, a three-night, six-hour History Channel event that premieres tomorrow, that's Friday, November 2nd, is directed by Charles Ferguson, the Oscar-winning director behind No End in Sight and, more recently, Inside Job. I should clarify, he won the Oscar for Inside Job. I think he was merely nominated for No End in Sight. Anyway, I had planned to cover Watergate as part of the main podcast this week before the Watergate plumbers apparently broke into my guest Mike Dunn's house and dunked his laptop in toilet or something. And 5 hours into the first hour of this, I was kind of grateful to whatever Magruder took me off the hook for prepping it, because it does not get off to a promising start. For one thing, maybe I've just been marinating in Watergate and Nixon shit the last year and a half as a form of self-soothing, and to expect anyone else to have done the same is unfair. But slow burn exists, many Nixon bios exist, all the president's men in book and film form and The Post are widely available. The Vietnam miniseries wasn't out that long ago, and yet the opening narration is the kind of yeah, garbage explainer scene-setting graph I used to have to shit out for Yahoo back in the day. Then the first reenactment is inflicted upon us, and I understand that the laying of the actual audio over still photos of the participants, one, is not visually interesting, and two, has been done to death as a substitute for, you know, moving pictures. But generally speaking, this is the last option a prestige documentarian should go with. And while Ferguson has the actors speaking the exact words that are on Nixon's tapes, said actors usually look far enough off from the figures they're portraying, people we've seen hundreds of photos of hundreds of times, that the attempts to imitate accent and timbre can land really strangely. The guy playing Kissinger looks like the love child of Anthony Rapp and Henry Zerny and sounds like Colonel Klink. Why didn't someone try to talk Fergie out of this? So yeah, that's
not great, Bob!
Haldeman. But you kind of get used to it after a while, and it's not the whole series or anything. There are a lot of talking heads as well, including Daniel Ellsberg, Dan Rather, John Farrell, who wrote the Nixon bio that I referred to in, I believe, yesterday's brief about Bagman, John Dean, Woodstein, Hugh Sloan, and many more. There is also a horrifying story told by David Mixner, a leading anti-war organizer who was closeted in the late 60s, about the lengths the president's men would go to arrange Mixner's silence. Like, felony, blackmail, big store, con, lengths.
So, you'd go to a bar that was down an alley and had no sign on it. And in walked a gentleman who I fell head over heels in love with. He liked all the poets I liked, the music I liked. And I got a key and went back for, you know, near 30 days. And it was beautiful, beautiful. One weekend, we were going to meet at a restaurant. I went to the restaurant, and two guys show up with badges. And they emptied on the table very explicit photographs of Frank and I having sex. They said, think about it, but we want you out of the anti-war movement. I went to warn Frank, opened the apartment, and there wasn't a stick of furniture, a book, or a record in it. Never saw him again. Don't even know if he was Frank.
Okay, right? That is so cruel and fucked up, truly. And with almost 50 years distance, Mixner, at least, seems almost amused at the dramatics. And I'd be amused by it, too, if they'd been used by the queer peace activist instead of against him. And let's not forget, it's easy to sort of snort at this shit, given how future, quote, operations got bungled. But interference in recent elections makes this kind of shit look almost quaint. P.S. If you are Frank or know who Frank is, please get in touch with me, bunting@the-blotter.com, because what the fuck? All right. Anyway, back to the topic. I've watched the first 2 hours of Watergate. I believe those 2 hours air in a block Friday night. You should seriously consider setting your DVRs or even watching them live. There is plenty of material that I hadn't seen, stories I hadn't heard, closer looks at figures whose significance I'd forgotten, and the reenactments are thoroughly weird in an entertaining way. Like, this is maybe not a Nixon impression that rises above the level of Saturday Night Live, but at least you can amuse yourself wondering who the actor reminds you of. John C. Reilly gets my vote, as it were. And it is the real words and inflections of the principals. It's a lot of material, but Ferguson isn't an Academy Award winner because he doesn't know how to assemble these stories, so try it. Tweet me. It's good. Got 18 minutes of tape I need to review? Let me know via email, which I just gave you, or find me on social media. That's Blotter Presents on Facebook and Twitter. And if you become a Patreon tipster, you'll get to listen to and help choose the minisodes I don't send to Gen Pop. That page is patreon.com/blotterpresents. Thanks for listening to today's Blotter Brief. I'm your host, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm always prepared to rule.